Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, March 7th, which is Amy Hirsch's birthday. Amy is our Minister of Pastoral Care and Membership, and Amy, we don't know what we would do without you. We're so grateful for your ministry here at Mountain Brook Baptist, and we thank the Lord for you today. Because it is Friday, I do have a guest for us today, and it's a really special treat. Kelly Hatley is going to read the scripture for us today. Mr. Kelly is our Minister of Music and Active Christian Living, and recently he went to the Philippines to do a conference with one of our mission partners. And also, in this busy season of Lent, I always lean on Mr. Kelly to help me understand the church calendar and what Lent means. So he is going to read the scripture for us today, and then he'll talk with us for a few minutes about both of these things. Thank you, Kelly, for joining us today.
Thank you, Mary, for having me. I'm glad to be on this podcast today. Our scripture reading in the Old Testament today is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Our New Testament reading for today is Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 28. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and on the way he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day he will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it that you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." Now when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. And Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Our reading from Proverbs today is from chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. "My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, 'You are my sister,' and to insight, 'You are my relative.' They will keep you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words."
Thank you so much, Mr. Kelly, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. Before we move into talking about the Philippines and Lent, I really just want to get a little family update from you because it's been a while since you've been on the podcast. Share with us just a few things about your family and anything new that has happened recently.
Okay. since the last time I was on this podcast, my middle daughter, Caroline, has graduated from college. She graduated in December from the University of Montevallo and a degree in art.
Woo-hoo!
And she is loving life and doing art commissions and on the side and full time. She works at Cookie Fix and she loves her job there and the things that she's doing. Hannah Grace continues to teach kindergarten at Green Valley Elementary in Hoover, and she has a very funny class and entertains me a lot with the stories from her class. Hudson is working full-time, but he is searching diligently for a job in the field of cartoon animation of some kind, and so that's our big prayer for him, is that the Lord would open up a door into that field. It's very hard to break into, but once you get in, it's very lucrative and good. So we're trying to ask the Lord to reveal his will to us in that. Sarah Kate is a junior at the University of North Alabama, majoring in violin performance, and she is really doing well and excelling in all things music there, and is a member of the Shoal Symphony in Florence, and is doing some adjunct work with other orchestras around that are near. And Lassie this year has taken a full-time teaching job in Shelby County school system. She homeschooled our kids, but after they all graduated and moved out, she did a little bit of preschool teaching, and then this year decided to go back into the public school system. And she's had some challenges this year, but it's been a good experience for her in learning how to deal with other people outside the small realm that she had before then. So she's growing and learning things, and I'm proud of her.
I had fun talking to her and to Hannah Grace the other night at dinner on Wednesday night about their kids in their classroom and just how funny they can be. We know that recently you went to the Philippines, which is a long way away. How many hours did it take you to get there?
Well, I started my stopwatch when my plane backed out of the gate in Birmingham, and when I arrived at the seminary, I turned the stopwatch off and it was 33 hours later.
Oh my word. That just is horrible.
It was a long way.
Anyway, but you made it to the Philippines, and we have a partner there, the Philippines Baptist Theological Seminary, and they had asked you to come to preach and to teach. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, I was invited to speak at their 55th conference of the Lyde Walker Bible Conference. It was named for two of their past presidents of the seminary, two Southern Baptist missionaries there, and they've been doing it for 55 years. They wanted to do a conference involving the topic of music in worship, and they had never done a Lyde Walker Bible Conference on music. And so they asked me to come over and to be the speaker and the lecturer. And that involved preaching three sermons in their worship services and four lectures in the series.
Now, when they said to prepare sermons, how long did they tell you they needed to be?
Well, they didn't initially. They just said you had to preach three times. So I was thinking American sermons, you know, 30 minutes tops, maybe a little bit less. And I said, well, it's not really my strong point, but I think I can eke that out. And then when they came over last June and talked with me in detail about it, they said, well, you have to preach in worship, and we worship three nights. And I said, okay. And then I said, tell me about it. Well, worship is from 7 to 9 p.m. Okay, great. And what happens in that? We sing for 30 minutes. And then I said, and? And they said, and you. So I had an hour and a half slot to fill with a sermon, and it just blew my mind, and that scared me half to death.
And you prayed a lot about it. You asked the staff to pray a lot about it, and then tell us how the Lord worked in it.
Well, I began to work in earnest on the sermons and the lectures back last September, because the conference was in January, the first week of January. And so I went on a vacation, and it was just my son and I, because of the teachers in my family, they couldn't get off work, and the college students couldn't go either. So Hudson and I went to the beach, and he does his own thing, and I let him do it, and I took all of my resources and began to work in earnest on my outlines and what I would say. And so because I was speaking at a seminary, I really went kind of an academic route in my preparation, and prayed, of course, for a lot of inspiration, but I really worked hard on the outlines, and I tried to make it to where it would make sense for educated people and things like that. And when I got to the seminary, in my preliminary meeting the first morning that I was there on Monday, and the conference started on Wednesday, the president of the seminary said, "Now, don't get too academic on us."
Oh, gosh, you should have said that in advance.
I know. I thought that would have been good to know back in September because that's all I'd done was become academic on him. He said, "We learn best through testimony stories of your ministry. So if you just tell us a lot of those things along with what you have prepared, it will be great." Well, that again threw me into a tailspin because I hadn't prepared in that way at all. And I had my notes already written out. And I was just so incredibly nervous because I'm not a preacher. And that first day, I mean, I sweated over it and I tried to think of things and how I could rearrange my talk for the rest of that afternoon and all day Tuesday and the first part of Wednesday morning. It began at noon on Wednesday. And when I went into the gym, which is where they held the conference, they had 820 chairs set up in the gym.
Wow.
And when I went in there to speak, almost all of them were filled and there were people standing up in the back. And I wanted to throw up on the floor. I just was sick to my stomach. And I thought, I cannot do this. And I just remember in a frantic panic, I was just praying. I was like, "Lord, I have prepared things to say, but I just cannot do this. I'm about to have a panic attack." And I said, "Unless you speak through me and give me something to say, I'm not going to be able to make it." And when I got up there on the platform and took my spot and began to read from my outlines and the things that I was doing, I was really just amazed at, I would say something from my notes, and then I felt like the Holy Spirit was just putting in the back of my mind, "Do you remember back at so-and-so church, this situation happened and whatever?" And then I was immediately be able to give an example of that, like they wanted a testimony from ministry. And I was worried about filling the time, and I really had no problem at all. I spoke the entire length that they wanted, and they were really appreciative of it and gave me great comments about the things that I said and how much it meant to them. And they said the testimonies were great. We loved them. And it was all just dependent on the Lord, really, because I hadn't put any of those testimonies in my talk.
Now, when we talked about it earlier, you told me during some of it, you were just very practical. Like you'd go over to the piano and teach them something, or you'd give them a Get Your Wiggles Out song. Tell us about that.
Yes, I asked for an upright piano to be up on the platform with me so that I could give demonstrations of things and sing some solos as well. Some of the church members here, when they learned what I was going to have to do, they said, "Oh, just sing a lot." And I said, "Well, I promise you, I've got some songs in there for my time." But I would just move sort of fluidly between a point here, and I would say, "Now, this is what that looks like." And I'd move over and I'd play. I'd ask them to sing along. And they joined in very well and very readily, and they were very appreciative of that. They said, "We've never had a speaker for the conference that could sing songs at the piano and preach from the Word and direct a choir." They had a seminary choir, and they told me I had to direct it. So I did that too. So I was sort of a jack of all trades in the conference, and it was really an enjoyable experience. The funniest thing that happened was that my last talk for my lecture was about the importance of children's choirs in church music and worship. And so I talked about 45 minutes about the importance of children's choirs and gave them examples of curriculum that they could use to do that in their churches. And then I said, "Okay, so now I'm going to make all of you my practice children's choir, and you're all going to become children in my children's choir." And they laughed and they said, "Okay." And so I said, "Everybody stand up." And then I gave them an example of it's a children's choir energizer is what it's called. And it's really to use at the beginnings of choir to get the wiggles out and let the kids do something fun before they settle down and to sing. And so I played that for them, and we did all the motions. And you had everybody from college kids through the oldest senior adults raising their hands and squatting down and twisting and turning and reaching and They loved it. I couldn't believe it. I really thought, I've got a 50-50 shot. Some are going to hate it. Some are going to love it. But when we finished doing it, it was about a minute and a half. When we finished doing that first time, the entire gym erupted into applause and cheers, and they all started shouting, again, again. I never thought that they'd want to do it twice, but we did. I thought it was great.
That is awesome. And I love hearing how the Lord provided when you were weak and you just cried out to Him and He provided a word for you.
He truly did.
I also want to talk about Lent. Today in Ecclesiastes, we are reminded that there's a time for everything. And Lent is a time for a very specific thing. Tell us about Lent and how it has been a blessing to you.
Well, Lent is really designed to be a season to focus on repentance and return to the Lord. And I feel like that is such an important thing for Baptist churches today, because we're sort of new to this on the scene. Years ago, I feel like there was a pushback against it because people saw it as something Catholic and they didn't want to be that. But really, it's just a teaching tool and a repentance tool. And in a season of life in the Baptist world where we no longer have revivals, when I grew up, we had a fall revival and a spring revival, and that you went to. But when we don't do those kinds of things anymore, we don't have purposeful times to call ourselves to repentance before the Lord. And so inserting the season of Lent into our worship life is a way for us to join with Christians throughout the ages, and then to say, I need to focus on my spiritual life and where does it lie with the Lord at right now? Because as with all things, it can easily dim, and it's like a 40-day Baptist revival, really, if you really hold to it.
What are some practical ways that we can participate in Lent?
Well, certainly you can find Lenten devotionals. You can participate in this, the Project 119 podcast. I have experimented at times in the past with fasting and giving up things. And the point of that is really that when you give something up that you really, really love, that you replace it with, you know, a prayer before the Lord to help you desire the Lord as much as the thing that you've given up. And it draws really a focused attention on Christ in your life. I've done that, and I've had some success and some not successful. Depends on what the fast is. But fasting can be more than just food. It can be things that you give up. It could be, I've had friends that have given up social media and not done that for 40 days and talked about what an impact that was on their life. But the point is, it's not just a mechanical thing that you do to just give something up for the sake of giving it up.
Or to say, hey, I did this work.
Or to say, hey, I did this. That's right. It's just to say, I'm going to replace this then with a desire for the Lord, just in an effort to draw closer. Like the Joel passage we read in Ash Wednesday, return to me, says the Lord. Return to me. That's what Lent is.
Just this past Wednesday night, we had a beautiful Ash Wednesday service where we did focus in on our sin, and we were able to use the little flash papers and see the Lord consume our sins in a very visual way. What are some other things that we look forward to this Lenten season?
I think one of the most important things during the Lenten season now that is left is for us, besides regular Sunday worship, is the Holy Week services that we have. I think it is important for us to yearly trace the steps of our Lord through the last week of His death. It's sort of like when you have family gatherings and you get together with your family, what do? You usually end up telling the same stories over and over and laughing and cutting up together. And you tell those stories so that you don't forget. And that is what is important about the Holy Week. We retrace Christ's steps so that we don't forget the depth of the love that He demonstrated to us on the cross. And we have Holy Week services at a new time this year from 7 to 7:30 in the gym. And we'll have a handheld breakfast item that you can take with you to work.
On Monday, Tuesday,
and Wednesday mornings. And then on Thursday evening, one of my most meaningful services throughout the year is the evening Maundy-Thursday service. And we'll have communion together with each other in the Lord, and it'll be very meaningful. There's some beautiful music that will be sung by the choir. We are having the words from the cross being read aloud from Scripture, and then we'll have anthems sung after that to help illuminate that text. And then we end in darkness. And for me, that is really important because too often we skip from Hosannas on Palm Sunday to Resurrection Easter Sunday, and we do not retrace the agony that the Lord went through on our behalf. And when you end the service on Maundy Thursday in darkness and silence, and no one speaks as we leave, it just leaves your soul aching for Easter Sunday morning and the joy that will come with resurrection. And so for me, that is the most important thing, because Maundy Thursday for me makes my Easter Sunday be the glorious resurrection Sunday that it has to be.
Kelly, you know I'm going to ask you to sing to close us out. You have such a wonderful voice. Is there a Lenten chorus or song that you might end the podcast with today?
Yes, I like the hymn, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.